Ooh, how y'all feeling today? I tell you what, we got a lot to celebrate here this morning. Hopefully you've been you're just kind of involved and engaged in that, whether you're here in the audience or watching online. God has been so good to CCW in the last year. It's just amazing to see what he's done. And I think it's because just the heart of his people coming together and worshiping the one and only God and loving Jesus like we're supposed to, and then loving each other like Jesus would love us, and it's pretty cool. Pretty important things. Pretty important things. Do y'all ever think about important things like, oh, that's important, this is important. Like, what's the most important meal of the day? All right, we're going to have a debate, all right? It's obviously dessert, okay? So, but I think you would agree that when it comes to life and to choices, all right, that there are some things that are less important than others. In fact, some aren't important at all. And then there's some things in life that are more important than other things, right? And then there's some things in life that are just like the most important things of all, like most important things. Like this last week, my wife and I were sitting down and we had this long, pointless argument about what the most important vowel in the alphabet is. And of course, I won. I had six people come up to me after first service and go, who won the argument? I said, it was a very not important joke, all right? So I won. So, bad joke, okay. But since I'm talking about that I today, just about me, for Joe, as I speak to you, and maybe you can relate to this, there really is a most important thing. There's a most important driving truth behind all that I do. In fact, this one most important truth is the reason that I'm a Christ follower to begin with. It's this most important truth that I think about when I wonder, maybe like you do sometimes, why God? Why? And I come back to this truth. It's this one most important truth that I come back to when I open up God's word and I go, really? Like that is possible? That happened? And I wonder about God's word. And I come back to this most important truth. It's this most important truth I come back to when I think about church things and stuff going around in your life, in my life, in the world around us. This truth that comes back to me, and I think about this when I'm in pain or when I am sick or those I love are sick. When death is knocking on the door, maybe of your own life or somebody else's life. I know for me, this most important truth is what matters more than anything else. And more than just myself, this is the truth behind all that we do here at CCW. You need to know this morning, this is not about religion. It's not about checking a box and showing up on Sunday morning. It's not about how much money's put in the offering plate or the certain flair or style that we worship with. It's not even about showing up with our families and being together on Sunday morning. It's even more important than that. You see, what we do, what we believe, who we are, is because of this one most important truth of all time. And here it is, that Jesus Christ, God's only Son, came from heaven to earth to really live in the flesh. And he really died on the cross for your sins and mine. And he really did rise again from the grave to live forever at the right hand of God. That one most important truth is that Jesus lives. He lives. Well, I want to welcome you back to our latest Core 52 series. It's called Beyond Belief. This is actually our last message in this mini-series. And this week we're in chapter 44. I hope you've been studying along with us, reading the chapters, watching the videos, doing different things. It's just really good stuff. And this week, chapter 44, we are going to get into that most important truth, the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection. Now, the resurrection of Jesus is the single most important fact in the history of the world. In fact, it's the single most important fact in the history of many of the lives in this room, like myself. Whether you're a Christian or not, if this one fact is true, then nothing matters more. And if this one truth, well, if it's not true, this one fact, then nothing matters at all. Resurrection of Jesus. God says it this way in our Core 52 memory verse for the week. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In fact, if you have your Bibles open, if you're watching online, go ahead and scroll down and grab 1 Corinthians 15. You guys, there's Bibles in front of you. If you don't have one, help your neighbor find it. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 15 a little bit deeper today, but this is our core verse for the week. 1 Corinthians 15, 14. Listen to what God says. If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. That word vain means useless. Like it doesn't matter. Read it again. 1 Corinthians 15, 14. If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. Now, as beyond belief as Jesus' resurrection might be, and let's be honest, this is like beyond belief. But as beyond belief as Jesus' resurrection might be, we can believe that it's true. And when we do believe that truth will literally move us to live beyond that belief, to something that, into a life that we never dreamed possible with God in charge. And it's just, this is the fuel that gets us going. It's a thing that reminds us that all that we do is real and all that we do matters. It changes everything. It's also this one truth that if we believe in this, not only moves us through this life, but moves us into the next life in heaven by the grace of God, the resurrection of Jesus. So go ahead and open your Bibles. You'll flip open to 1 Corinthians and then flip right back to almost the end, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Again, this is the passage where our memory verse comes from, 1 Corinthians 15. Now, what you need to know about 1 Corinthians is that the Apostle Paul is writing these words from God to a Christian church. And they've been having some troubles and some questions about their faith and their practice. So Paul steps in and he's trying to help them solve some of these issues. They're struggling. In many ways, they're even struggling about what to believe about a few things. And I think if we're honest, we can kind of fast forward 2,000 years and admit that we as well struggle with some things in our own faith, our own practice, our own doubts. And I think this is really, really cool that Paul gives us these words all through 1 Corinthians, but especially here in 1 Corinthians 15. And I love how Paul always seems, and especially here in this chapter, to turn the attention to the most important truth of all. You see, no matter what you believe or don't believe about the Bible, you think, oh, is it literal? Is it figurative? Is it all this kind of thing? You know, what's going on with this truth or that truth? No matter what you believe, no matter what questions you have about God or about church or about Christians in general, it's like Paul just says, stop. Before thinking about all the things you don't understand, turn your attention directly to the most important person, the most important truth, the most important thing that we can understand. And that's Jesus of Nazareth and his resurrection from the dead. And that's what Paul does in 1 Corinthians 15. Now, history tells us that Jesus was the prophesied Son of God. He was and is who the Old Testament says that he is. That's what the Old Testament's all about. It points us to Jesus. History also tells us that Jesus came from heaven to earth as God in the flesh. He lived a perfect life. He did God-like miracles, things only God could do. He taught perfectly. He loved perfectly. He died on the cross as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. And then he rose again to live forever. And as it turns out, someone like Jesus, who lives like Jesus and loves like Jesus and did the things Jesus did, when he rises from the dead to live forever, then the things he did and the things that he said, well, they live forever too. And here we are 2,000 years later celebrating and learning from the Messiah who rose from the grave. Not just here in this room, but all around the world today. That's why we gather. That's why we celebrate, because we believe the unbelievable about Jesus, God's only Son, our risen King. So I've got to ask you this morning, do you believe that Jesus Christ rose from the grave? Do you believe that this morning? That really, like, do you really believe that Jesus bodily rose from the grave after he was crucified on a cross? Yes. Are you sure? Yes. Well, I've got to ask you this question. Why do you believe that? Why do you believe it? And if you don't believe it, why not? I tell you, there's just so many reasons to believe in the unbelievable resurrection of Jesus. What I want to do for the next few minutes is just kind of give you some of those reasons. Because sometimes I think we just kind of, just comes off of our mouths and we're just like, yeah, we believe, ooh, yeah. And it's like, well, you know, the minute somebody challenges, it's like, I thought I did, you know. But there are mountains of evidence, historical evidence that confirm this truth, this most important truth, especially through the Bible. And I heard somebody say, yes, because the Bible says so. But if you get caught in that circular argument of the Bible says so, so the Bible, you know, then you got to be careful. So what is it about the Bible? Well, the Bible is full of, the Bible is a reliable source. You just can't push it to the side and pretend it doesn't exist. The Bible is full of prophecies, eyewitness reporting, historical documents, and they all date back to the time of Christ. Man, I love the Bible. I love this book, and I hope you do too. It is full of timeless truth. It is God's word. It is the truth that we can live by. And written on its pages. I mean, it will change your life by living the Bible. But of all those truths, no truth is more important than the truths that this book contains about the life and the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. About how he came to earth and modeled the perfect humanity for us. He's the gold standard. He showed us and he modeled perfect love, perfect sacrifice, how to go through suffering and even death and give glory to God through it all. Jesus, his life, who he is and what he's done is contained in the pages of this book. And when it comes to the resurrection, the Bible contains all kinds of evidence about this. This is the resurrection of Jesus. We see it in Matthew chapter 28. We see it in Mark chapter 16, Luke chapter 24, John chapter 20, eyewitness accounts. And these accounts give us their version about how Jesus was brutally, publicly crucified in front of hundreds of people, how he was killed on a Roman cross and then put inside of a tomb owned by a man named Joseph of Arimathea. Details. The Bible tells us how after he was dead for 3 days, Jesus' disciples would go to the tomb to pay honor to him, and they found no body. No body was in the tomb. It was empty. What in the world happened? What happened was Jesus had risen from the grave. And now alive again, he literally, visibly, physically walked the earth in front of hundreds of eyewitnesses for over a month in places that you and I can still visit today. Some of those eyewitnesses we read about in Scripture, the Bible historically records at least 11 appearances to eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection, to people like Mary Magdalene and other women, to Peter, to two men on the road to Emmaus. We see Jesus appearing to the 12 apostles, including Thomas, who doubted any of this was true until he saw Jesus with his own eyes. The Bible tells us that another 500 people, including Jesus' brother James and the apostle Paul himself, saw Jesus risen again. Eyewitnesses. Now, the Core 52 study this week, again, I hope you'll get into this. Mark Moore, the author, he's an expert on this subject, by the way. He highlights some of the primary reasons that we can believe in the resurrection of Jesus. And these facts that he gives us in the book actually match up with scholars throughout the you know, throughout the ages, especially Liberty University apologist Gary Habermas, another expert in this subject, and what he calls the minimal facts that we can believe about Jesus's bodily resurrection. And why these are interesting to me is that these are things that the vast majority of scholars, from Christian to non-Christian to atheists alike, can come together on and agree upon. Minimal facts. Why do we know the resurrection is true? Number one, Jesus died by crucifixion. He did die. Historians agree that Jesus of Nazareth really lived and really died on a Roman cross, and they would agree that no one ever survived the Roman crucifixion. Jesus was dead. Fact number one. Number two, there was and still is an empty tomb. An empty tomb. The body was never produced, ever. Like, where did it go? And where was it? Like, I found it. Here it is. Nothing like that. Look, there is no body there. The tomb's empty. Number three, eyewitnesses. I mentioned these before, these eyewitnesses. There were so many, and they were so early, that these eyewitnesses literally formed oral tradition, witnesses that were established and passed along from the very beginning, and entire communities were founded and established because of the belief that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. Eyewitness accounts. Number four, and this one's so powerful to me, is the transformation of the disciples themselves, the followers of Jesus. When they saw Jesus risen from the dead, their lives were changed, even to the point of being willing to die specifically because of their belief, their faith in the resurrection itself. For example, I mentioned James earlier. James was Jesus's unbelieving brother. He wasn't a believer until he saw his brother risen from the grave. Now, I got to thinking, maybe you do too, and maybe you've heard this before, but I got to think, what would it take for me to believe that my brother is the Son of God? What would it take for you to believe your brother was the Son of God? Well, besides the life of Jesus, James saw his brother alive again after he saw him crucified. The Apostle Paul, famous for persecuting Christians, an enemy of the faith, became a leader of the church, a leader of believers after meeting Jesus face to face. In the book of Acts, written in the 60s, just a few years after Jesus, we see Stephen and Simon being martyred, being killed for their faith. We see Christians being scattered. We see Peter and John and others being persecuted, beaten, imprisoned. John is exiled to the island of Patmos. Some people believe that and history would tell us that he was tarred and feathered because of what he believed about the resurrection. Look, people don't do that for a lie. These men were transformed and changed because they had a true belief in what they really saw, and it caused them to go through all the things they went through. And number five, we've got very early teaching, very early teaching. Very soon after the crucifixion, Jesus came back to life. And this teaching was established so soon that it couldn't have come from legend, it couldn't have come from mythology, or it couldn't have been made up. One example is the Apostle Paul himself. In fact, he took the words from 1 Corinthians 15 from an already established Christian creed in AD 55. Now, this is just 22 years after Jesus was crucified, 22 years. And this teaching was already established. So as you look at 1 Corinthians 15, and I just want you to go ahead and turn there, understand that these words, as they were being circulated and talked about by Paul, were only as old as like the 9/11 attacks, the terrorist attacks in the Twin Towers 20 years ago. So these words would be equivalent age-wise, historically, to me standing up here and telling you the story of the terrorist attacks in New York. And you would know, wouldn't you, if I was making that up or not. Just 22 years, and we have these words already being circulated among the Christian churches. And Paul quotes them in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3-8. Listen to what he says. This is God's word. Listen close. God says, through Paul, for what I received, I passed on to you as of, help me out. What importance? First importance, right? This is the most important thing, okay? What I passed on to you is of first importance. Highlight this, underline it, memorize. This is what is most important. This is the most important truth. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was what? Raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Most important truth. And that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than, get this, 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time. This isn't made up stuff. Most of them are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Paul is pointing to, it's crazy. Verse 7, then he appeared to James, brother of Jesus, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. Paul's like, he even appeared to me, a former enemy of Jesus himself. And here is Paul boldly testifying in the face of opposition about what he saw and he knew to be true, the undeniable, transforming truth of the resurrection of Jesus. And what was true then, what God said then, is still true today. If you need physical evidence, look around the room. The church. In fact, as we scroll back into history, we see the early church. It was primarily Jewish in heritage. And something caused those early Jewish believers to change their Sabbath day of worship from Saturday to Sunday. Guess what it was? The resurrection of Jesus. It happened on a Sunday. Within 30 years of Jesus, we've got documents recording baptism, a model of Jesus' death and burial and resurrection. Then 30 years, we've got communion being celebrating, remembering his body and his blood and his life that was given for us, which we'll celebrate in just a few minutes. Here we are, 2,000 years later, the resurrection. The resurrection and its celebration in the church is the reason these eyewitnesses, the power of the resurrection is what caused the church to grow. Again, in the face of persecution all around the world. Look, nothing else besides the risen body of Jesus the Messiah can explain the church and what God has done through her for 2,000 years. Now, these are just the minimal facts, the tip of the iceberg. But I want to assure you, evidence exists plenty, plenty more. In fact, not only from the multiple eyewitnesses in the Bible, but from numerous non-biblical sources. Going back to the time of Christ, Jewish historians like Josephus and Tacitus and others, even sources who are hostile to Christianity. Because what Paul said is true. What I received, I've passed on to you. And it is of the first importance that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And he was buried. And he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. If you will put in the work, if you will answer your questions, just read and study, and you'll find out this belief, as unbelievable as it might be, it makes sense. It made sense to Paul, and it has made sense to billions of people ever since. All so that you and I would, like the Apostle John would write, we might believe, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that by believing in him, we will have life in his name. Life. When I think of the resurrection, that word just pops in my mind, in my heart, because we need life today. We need eternal life, but we need life on earth. We need life forgiven of our sins. We need life of purpose, a life loving God, loving others, loving our neighbors, and knowing that there's more to this life than what meets the eye. That's why the promise of the resurrection is so important, so important. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. It's useless. And your faith is in vain. But I stand here this morning to tell you that our faith is not in vain. Our faith is not in vain. Our preaching is not in vain because Jesus Christ has been risen from the dead. As hard as it is to believe, we have reason to believe that it's true, 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 true. See, beyond our belief, the truth of the resurrection will steer not just the way that we think and believe about the why we believe, but it will steer and it will change our attitude about life. It will help us to understand how we should think and how we should live and how we should do life altogether. It will literally change the way that we make choices, our perspective on things, our attitudes on things. So I want to ask you this morning, I said, do you believe that Jesus Christ rose from the grave? And you all, many of you said, yes, we believe. Then I've got another question to ask you. What difference does it make? What difference has it made in your life? Because it's one thing to believe that the resurrection is true, and we may know why the resurrection is true, but it's a whole nother thing to live our lives, not just knowing why that it's true, but because it's true. Are we living our life in a way that it is our heartbeat, that it is who we are, the choices we make in light of the resurrection of Christ? The truth of the resurrection changes everything. The way we speak, the way we treat other people, the way we look at sickness, the way we look at suffering, the way we look at death, the hope we have in spite of our circumstances. And it's our heartbeat as believers. And it's also the heartbeat of this church, this family. And as I stand here and talk about the resurrection, I hope that you never, ever get tired of hearing this truth from us. And I hope you never, even more importantly, I hope you always see this truth in us, the hope of the resurrection. I hope you know that CCW, this church family, believes and loves and lives this truth together. And y'all, we're not perfect, all right? I don't have to tell you that. If you've been around here very long, you know that it's not true. In fact, I bet you've had Sundays, you've had days, weeks, whatever, where you've gone, what in the world is going on around here? Like, you just wonder, don't you sometimes? Like, you just wonder, what's going on with the church? And maybe not just this church, but any church, maybe the church you came from. Look, I got to tell you, you may wonder if why we do the things that we do. You may wonder, you know, what's going on with the lights? What's going on with the haze? What's going on with the music around? You know, like, why do we do the things that we do? What's going on with teaching 52 core topics all throughout the year just to kind of understand the Bible better? Why doesn't this church have a senior minister? You ever wonder that? Like, we have a team, you know. Well, first of all, Jesus is our senior minister. He's the one who rose from the grave. We don't, you know, I mean, that's interesting. You know, we're led by our elders, which is biblical, but I mean, okay, look, I'm getting off topic. Look, but you think about it. Don't you wonder sometimes what in the world is going on? Look, one thing you never, ever have to wonder about, you should never wonder about this one thing, this one truth, and that truth is the truth that we stand on. This is the truth that we believe in, the truth that we preach, the truth that we live, and that is that Jesus Christ is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. He is the one who was crucified for our sins, and he is the one who is risen from the dead. The truth of the resurrection, we believe it. And we want to encourage you as you come together as family in your small groups here to worship. We want to encourage each and every one of us. That's why we're here, to encourage each other to live by the power of the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the grave together, to live it together. That's the power of the church. Living the truth that we believe. And I see it everywhere. You see it. In fact, I bet right now if you leaned over your neighbor, you're watching online, you type this in, man, you know absolutely that there is a resurrection story sitting right next to you this morning. Because what was true 2,000 years ago is still true today. The resurrection still happens. By the power of the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, resurrection still happens. We know it's true. Resurrection still happens when somebody's baptized. 71 people last year so far have been baptized into Christ and have experienced the life, death, and burial and resurrection of Jesus in their life. Yes, resurrection happens when your marriage, man, you are on the mat, you and your wife, your husband, you're down for the count, your marriage is dead, and it comes back to life because the power of the resurrection, the Holy Spirit working in your marriage. You tell me resurrection doesn't happen. I see it I walk around the hallways and seeing husbands and wives holding their hand when they couldn't even talk to each other just a few months ago. Tell me resurrection doesn't happen. Resurrection happens. Resurrection happens when a prodigal son, a prodigal daughter comes home and you thought they were lost forever, but no, they're back. They love Jesus. Tell me resurrection doesn't happen. Resurrection happens in the life of the alcoholic, the drug addict. Places like Celebrate Recovery, but sometimes the Holy Spirit just intervenes and he does it through your life and my life. A life that was dead in addiction, right? Made alive again, sober again. Resurrection happens. It happens in the words of Jesus come alive in our lives and we start to practice what he tells us to do in our life. But resurrection happens when it comes to things like forgiveness, relationships, forgiveness of even our enemies. I've seen sworn enemies just like you have, brothers and sisters in Christ. Resurrection happens. Maybe some of y'all need to hear this today with the holidays coming. You need to know, hey, you need to make that phone call and say, I forgive you because Christ forgave me. And I don't know what's going to happen in another person's life, but it might just happen in your life. And you might experience resurrection of a relationship, a father, a son, grandparents. Resurrection happens when we forgive and we seek healing the way Jesus taught us to. And resurrection happens when we, like Jesus, go through suffering, pain, and loss, even death. You remember what happened before the resurrection of Jesus, don't you? The things he went through. But on the other side of death, on the other side of the cross, we have the hope of life, the hope of Jesus, the hope of the resurrection, even heaven. And because of the resurrection, we know that this life is not all there is. That's why when we're talking to people who know Jesus and know the power of the resurrection, but they've got cancer inside their bodies, when they're not sure they're going to make it through the week, there's something else there. There's something else inside of them that's saying, you know what? I'm going to live today for Jesus because I know I'm going to have forever with Jesus in eternity. 1 Corinthians 15. I hope you'll go and you'll read the rest of this chapter today, this week, because that's exactly what Paul is saying. Our bodies are like jars of clay. They're broken. We're just in trouble because we live in these bodies. That's what Paul is telling us here. If you read through this chapter, you're going to see that this life is absolutely temporary. I think we know that. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ tells us that our life can be eternal. That death is literally swallowed up in victory, Paul says. That we, through our Lord Jesus Christ and through Jesus alone, our labor is not in vain. Even our suffering, even our pain, even our death has a promise attached to it. You see, God makes all things new. God takes those things which were broken and he restores them. God takes those things which were dead in the grave, in the tomb, and brings them back to life again. My Bible says that if anyone is in Christ, that he is a new creation, that the old has passed away. I don't know if you believe that or not, but God says, see, the old has gone and the new has come. We have a risen king, y'all. He came back to life again. And because he did, where there is fear, hope can drive out that fear. In fact, hope can replace that fear. We've got fears today. But we look back to the New Testament, we see these first disciples. They were afraid, they were lost, they were hurting because they saw Jesus crucified and dead for 3 days. But when they saw Jesus alive again, like we can today as we open up our Bibles, their hope was renewed, their hope was restored, and their fear just disappeared. The power of the Holy Spirit. And those men who were scared are now boldly testifying in front of Roman courts, Jesus Christ and Jesus risen again. One of those disciples, the Apostle Peter, would write, God has given us a new birth and the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus. That was his message. He is risen from the dead, and we have an inheritance that will never perish, never spoil, never fade. It's in heaven with you. You see, in Jesus, we have the hope of life after death. That's the hope of the resurrection. Over fear, we have freedom. Freedom not just from fear, but freedom from guilt, freedom from addiction, from sin itself, from shame. You see, Jesus died and rose again to set us free. I talked about this a few weeks ago. Who the Son has set free is free indeed, John 8 says. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Those are the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians. In this life, now one thing God doesn't set us free from is death. I mean, it's going to happen. We're going to have trouble in life. That's promised to us. In fact, Jesus' death shows us that our human bodies are fragile, that pain is part of being human. Rest assured, we will all die one day. But the resurrection means that even in the pain, even in the loss that we might experience, even in death, if we are in Christ, the promise of the resurrection is the promise of eternal life after this life is over. Jesus himself said, I am the resurrection and the life. And whoever believes in me will live even though they die. John chapter 11. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. But y'all, through Jesus, we can have life, eternal life. And he said those words before he was crucified. And then he made good on his promise by rising from the dead. So for those of us who are in Christ, y'all, there is a rest of the story after this story is over. And the rest of the story is the resurrection story. The resurrection of Jesus. It is the single most important truth that you and I can ever believe. And I hope you do today. I hope you know there are all kinds of great reasons to believe in the resurrection of Jesus. But I also hope that you understand that as it changes the way we live and the way we do life and the way we do church, that in the resurrection of Jesus, you can have freedom today. You can have hope today. You can have restoration today, victory today, and today. Today, as we turn our lives and our attention to the resurrection of Jesus and allow him to live by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we can live not just with the belief that Jesus rose from the grave, but beyond that belief, so that it permeates and changes the way that we use our minds, our hearts, mind, body, soul, our strength, our hands, our feet, our mouths. When was the last time we told somebody that we believe that Jesus Christ rose from the grave? It's going to permeate everything that we are. So I want to ask you today, not just do you believe, but do you believe in a way that you will take action, literally? Take action with your life. Maybe today is the day that you can begin a new life in Christ, that you would believe it, that you would turn your life over to Jesus who rose from the grave, that you would confess him as Lord of your life and be baptized in the Christ. Again, experience that death and that burial and that resurrection for yourself. Maybe today is the day you say, you know what, I'm going to live in the power of the resurrection. I don't know what it's like to join a small group, but I'm going to get involved with other believers and join a small group. Maybe it's a time where you're going to say, you know what, I haven't served. I don't know what it's like to be in the preschool, but I'm going to jump in there. I'm going to go ahead and give something else a try. I'm going to serve in the cafe, or I'm going to ask about serving God in my community or with people who don't know the resurrection. I'm going to start serving people because, man, I was afraid to do that, but I'm not afraid to do that anymore because I know Jesus rose from the grave. Maybe this is that day. I want to invite you, if you're watching online or you're sitting here, to fill out a connection card and let us know how we can help you with your next steps. Visit the Connection Center. Type it in the comment section. Find a way. We are here to help you take your next step to live for Jesus and the power of his resurrection. I hope this week, as you dig into God's word, that you will read through that chapter in Core 52, chapter 44. Do the activities on page 304. Do them. Don't just go, oh, those are nice. There's five things I can do. Literally meditate, study, serve. You'll see. It's pretty amazing. See what God can do through you. People are here to help you take whatever step. In fact, after we have the Lord's Supper together, you can come forward. We'll pray with you. We'll talk with you. That's why the church is here. We really do believe that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. And we want to live in the power of his resurrection together. So right now I'm going to ask you to just stand and sing the first chorus of this verse, or first verse of this song together, and then David's going to come, David Hand, and we're going to have the Lord's Supper together. And as we do, just to think about what it means, what's the power of the resurrection mean to you today, sitting in your chair? What's it mean for your life today? Dear Heavenly Father, we do love you, and I thank you, God, for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for coming from heaven, Lord, and for putting on skin and showing us what it means to live a perfect life, but not just living, but you died for our sins. Thank you for the forgiveness we have in your Son, Jesus. And I thank you that your Son did not stay dead. Jesus, you rose from the grave, and now we have the hope of resurrection in our own lives. So God, I pray that you would change us from the inside out, from the bottom of our feet, the top of our heads, inside out, and help us not just to say the words, but to believe in our minds, but to literally live our lives in the power of the resurrection by the Spirit that rose him from the grave. Live in us and through us. Father, we sing this song. It is right out of 1 Corinthians 15. And we mean these words, God. Accept them as our prayers. We prepare our hearts for communion today. In Jesus' name, amen.